Welcome to Correctional Commentary, a podcast about the ins and outs of corrections, an uncensored view from behind the walls, hosted by Robbie and Caleb.
Hi, and welcome to Correctional Commentary. On this episode of your favorite correctional podcast, you survived your first year. Now what? As always, you have this particular episode, you have the Shaggy Twins. I'm Caleb. The other one is Robbie.
All right, so
the first year.
Yeah, so you know we've been kind of going back and forth on what we want to kind of base it on, but I mean, there's so much that we can go off of. You know, what are your aspirations for this? You know, so you've started to get your feet wet with, you know, if you even want to stay, because usually, you know. Usually the people that aren't going to cut it don't even last a year.
Robbie, you stole the words right out of my mouth. The fact that you have made it a year to our listeners out there, that is a huge feat in of itself.
Yeah.
I've seen people literally come in, not even last a full day.
I've seen whenever I came in the first time with the state, We went to lunch and came back, and we had one guy not come back from lunch.
I will never forget. This is a funny story. I'll never forget. It was my rookie year, and my facility, we were so short-staffed, so desperate for trainers. I got put with a job shadow. I had a job shadow put with me today, and I was working on a low compound, very low security, and I was trying to teach this guy, like, you know, these are the different kinds of cells. This is what to look for. You know, and I went to some old head said, hey, we're going to, out of respect, you don't have to do this for our listeners out there, but respect, you know, I developed a good rapport with the inmates. So I went to these pod gods, these old heads, and said, hey, we're going to go in your cell. I'm just doing this. Cool. No problem. Whatever. Well, one of the inmates that lived in that cell, he was a prankster. You could tell this job shadow was scared out of his lasting mind. This guy runs in, pulls the door almost shut, screams, what are you going to do now with the real inmate, boy? And I never saw that guy again afterwards.
Yeah, I mean, inmates live to, I mean, that's all they have to do. At the end of the day, but you know, let's circle back around to, you know, things that I wish that I would have done sooner in my career.
Oh yeah,
because I mean, I got well into 10 years into my career.
Yeah,
before I started to like really do the networking and like getting serious about moving up. And I think that's something that not a lot of people talk about, is the importance of what to do and what not to do.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, you know, you can move up by being a brown noser and
don't be that guy
kissing ass. But
don't get a flat spot on your head being underneath the desk. Don't be that guy.
Yeah, I mean, yes, you can move up like that, but if you move up like that, you only have so far up you can go.
Yeah, like you're usually,
and eventually that person that you're brown nosing is gonna move on or move somewhere where, you know. Then you're starting all over, and let's be honest, nobody wants to be around those people.
Yeah. Now, this is a word of advice. If you do want to move up, I'm a living example of what not to do to our listeners out there. There was a captain that I told to go fuck yourself, and I wonder why I never. You know, it's still a mystery why I never really ranked up. I did that as a joke. I don't think the captain thought it was a joke.
I mean, you know, it's such a – the whole aspect of it now is so much different whenever I first started. I mean, it's relatively easy to move up like at least one rank. Like it's pretty easy to make corporal, depending on what facilities you're at. Yeah. Because with me, you know, I moved up really rapidly. Mm-hmm. Granted, I've had corporal experience prior at another facility. But I mean, I moved up from officer to sergeant in the course of 6 months. Yeah. But I bounced around. It wasn't at the same facility.
I remember that.
So
my best friend with
guns. It's like, I know you can't really do that with county, but for everybody that's, you know, working with the state, mm-hmm. if you can be mobile, you can go a whole lot further faster.
Because the networking opportunities. Yeah.
I definitely suggest for, you know, all of our listeners, if you're, you know, in your first couple years, you know, don't move up that fast if you don't have the experience.
And that's
don't move up before you're ready, really.
That's exactly what you're going to say. There is no shame. I know for our listeners, I know guys that waited 10 years before they went up for their promotional interview board. Yeah. I mean, Robbie's in one of them. I mean, I'm thinking about
the first time that I ever interviewed for corporal was back in March of last year.
Was it really? I thought you interviewed a couple times.
No, of this year. Sorry. No, yeah, of last year.
You're a goober?
Yeah, it was March. Okay. It was March, and I took the promotion. It became effective in April. That was the first time that I ever interviewed for corporal, and I landed it on my first try. But I went to another facility that was really short.
Mm-hmm.
Or, well, I say really. They were just on the
shorter than the other facilities that
yes.
you were at.
Yeah, so they had more gold badges than they had officers.
Yeah.
Which is getting very common now.
Really?
Yeah, it's like the facility that, you know, we've talked briefly, you know, I'm on a traveling team. Let's see, the facility I'm at now, I mean, I think on a day-to-day, I see maybe 4 to 5 of their facility officers on post.
Yeah.
And the rest are sergeants, corporals. I mean, it's the only place that I've ever seen that, you know, you'll have a sergeant running a pod as a pod officer.
And I want to clarify what Robbie's saying here to our listeners. That is essentially unheard of. It's not really, I mean, obviously it can happen due to institutional needs, but in theory, it doesn't happen.
Yeah,
sergeants
typically.
Are supposed to be supervisors of supervisors. They're supposed to be second supervisors.
Yeah, so, I mean, and you know, and I'm excited. And if, like I said, if anybody has any questions about what I do, mm-hmm. you know, feel free to message me. You know, I'll talk to you off, you know, public platform.
Yeah.
And give you all the advice that, you know, that I can give you.
And I'll even extend that too for me. Now, obviously, our listeners may or may not know, if this is your first time listening, I am no longer in corrections. I left it almost a year ago to go work for the federal government in a different capacity. But I do have 5.5 years in. If you want to message either one of us, we'll talk to you offline out of a public platform.
Yeah. But you know, yeah. for the people that are, you know, past their first year, and let's just say you're wanting to start seriously looking at going up for corporal. Mm-hmm. My biggest advice to you is first focus on knowing your policy.
Oh, good God. Policy is king.
I mean, if you can, I mean, that should be something that you start learning in your first year anyways.
Yeah.
You know, as a CO, you have plenty of downtime, and instead of for the most part, especially if you end up on nights or, I mean, it on your downtime, don't sit there and twiddle your thumbs. I mean, make use of your time.
I'm sorry. My downtime, my rookie year, I got 30 minutes a day, and that was my lunchtime. That was my inmate nap time. Go to sleep.
If you end up in SEG, then yes, you have less downtime. But
I wasn't in SEG.
Well, neither here nor there. Know your policy would be absolutely number one. And before you even consider going up for corporal, find your voice.
Oh, good God.
Find out what type of supervisor you want to be. Because, you know, I joke with my wife and I joke with you, Caleb, about this position that I'm in. I'm either going to get fired or demoted. I've already had several run-ins with people I'm protective of, you know, of my officers and my corporals.
Yeah.
And you know, I'll go to bat for them. So, and you know, if you're the type of person that, you know, you want, there's supervisor positions that you can get that you don't have to worry about that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just because you don't, you know, you're not a protective supervisor. I mean, I wouldn't say that would make you a less effective supervisor because there's plenty of positions like, you know, that you have to be a corporal to do at a facility, you know, like transportation. That's easier to do.
Yeah, and then you've also, I don't want to say it's easier to do, but there's another option for our listeners out there. To my knowledge, every prison agency, at least in the United States, has a gang investigators unit or a gang unit in some kind of capacity. They might be called different things. That was something I wanted to pursue. But unfortunately, the facility that I was at, it was extremely, extremely hard to get into. The guy, once you were in there, you retired from there because people just loved it. You didn't move out of it.
And that stuff like canine.
Oh yeah,
canine. You're usually, I'm pretty sure it's for the most part, it's like a corporal position.
Yeah, and special ops for every agency.
Yeah, it's a lot. But I mean, I would say those are your two first things that you want to know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, are you an aggressive person? Because if you're aggressive, you know, you may want to look at going up, you know, past corporal on to sergeant, you know, be a unit sergeant. I mean, because, you know, whenever you get to sergeant, in my eyes, you know, you have some aspects of, do you want to go to lieutenant? You could also pivot and go towards a unit manager position. And that's kind of where I'm at. I've really thought about, you know, I don't have any interest in going to lieutenant. I don't. What I've been thinking more and more about is whenever I get done with my path on this traveling is to try to pivot towards a unit manager position.
Okay, well, Robbie, I want you to make a promise to me live on camera. If you do, you got to come back home to me. I miss you. Your family misses you. Our children miss you, Robbie.
You know, it's going to depend on – it's going to take a lot for me to move out of my position. It's going to be who I – you know, it's like I have my favorite warden. I mean, it, you know, it's – but and that's for everybody that wants to know why networking is important.
Uh-huh.
It's not only for people to know your name, it's for you to know who you want to work for.
Oh yeah. That's true.
I've worked with some very good unit managers. I worked with some very, very bad unit managers. I worked for some good wardens and bad wardens.
Yeah, me too.
So, I mean, really, I think the current place that I'm at, I mean, definitely has, you know, one of my more favorable, you know, associate wardens. But, you know, I mean, of course, you know, upper management changes so often.
Yeah.
So you don't want to base it solely off of that, but.
Well, and that's one thing I do want to say to our listeners, especially with the theme of this video. Guys, if you find a manager that you don't like, or supervisor, whatever you want to call them, guys, don't let them determine whether you want to continue working in corrections or not.
Because it's
going to change, easy. I promise you.
It's very easy to have a sergeant, a unit manager, you know, determine if you're even going to stay in corrections.
Yeah, they can make it
so miserable for you. Mm-hmm. And most of the time, you know, a lot of people don't know. You just go up to your captain or your shift OIC and tell them, hey, like, this isn't working. You're going to have to move me, or I may have to find somewhere else to go.
Yeah. And I mean, that to me, letting a supervisor affect whether you stay in the career or not is like letting inmates affect whether you stay in the career or not.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of supervisors, and I'm still, you know, I'm still finding my footing as a supervisor. I'm in a super dynamic situation, but all that aside, you know, the networking, I will always go back to networking, because it will make your life tremendously easier. Whenever you need advice, you're going to have people that you can reach out to.
Yeah.
And the more people that know your name in a good light will make your career so much easier.
Yeah.
And that's what I say with networking. I don't say kiss ass. Get your name out there for good reasons. Mm-hmm. And your career will flourish.
And I feel like what Robbie's saying, one way to say what Robbie's saying is let your reputation speak for itself. Let your character speak for itself. Let your actions and who you are. If you're a shitbag as far as showing, never, you know, calling out all the time, showing up late, not wanting to help your brothers, that's going to speak for itself. But if you're somebody on the opposite end, shows up every day, willing to stay late, bust your ass, never calls out, that right there is huge.
Well, and you know, I'll say one thing. I made this mistake early, the first while in my career,
mm-hmm.
by not letting, I mean, and I think it's a good thing and a bad thing, by allowing people to speak certain ways to you, including supervisors.
Yeah, no.
Because supervisors, you know, you have to remember who we deal with daily. We deal with fucking inmates, and I had an issue with it today at work that, mm-hmm. you know, I was dealing with a unit manager, and I could just feel my blood pressure boiling and my voice slowly. My voice just went from here to here to here, and I finally just shut up and I turned around and walked away.
And that's probably one of the smartest moves you could make there, Robbie.
And that's, yeah, I mean, and that's what, you know, I'm trying to mentor, you know, some of my officers. One of my officers right now, he's a younger officer. He doesn't have a whole lot of time in, but, you know, one thing I told him, the one thing that will kill your career or make your career flourish is your mouth.
Yep. And I'm guilty of that. I mean, I had learned that lesson the hard way. Again, the story I told earlier in this podcast, told a cat to go fuck yourself. Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, but your mouth, like being defensive, you need to be defensive, but in a productive way.
And respectfully. So, there's a way to go about it respectfully.
Yeah, there's no reason to yell in front of inmates. You know, you can be, I guess, respectfully disrespectful.
Yeah. And that right there is the thing I'd like to say, you know, guys, again, for our new listeners that maybe the first time listening to this, we have talked about a concept called verbal judo. That is not something you just use with the inmates. Use it with your coworkers, with your colleagues, with your supervisors.
You use it more with your coworkers than you do your inmates, really.
Nope. Yeah. Okay. That's a fair statement. Really do.
Especially once you hit that supervisor role and you decide that you use a verbal judo a lot more once you decide that, hey, I don't want to be an officer for the rest of my career. And some people do. You may get in past your first year and say, you know, I'll be comfortable being a CO until I retire. And there's a lot of people that do it.
There's several at our facility that still are, my former facility, I should say.
And I'll be honest with you, up until whenever I applied for promotion, my first promotion, I thought I was going to be an officer until I retired.
Yeah.
But I met some people that gave me some good mentorship whenever I was traveling around and, you know, showed me the type of supervisors that are out there, that the facility that I was at and even the facilities from prior, I've never met.
Yeah.
And, you know, it made me want to teach. And speaking of which leads me into something else, you know, with networking, something, you know, that I'm kind of bouncing around. I've talked about unit manager is, you know, getting into like the training.
Oh, Robbie, you'd make a great freaking trainer. I'd say that.
And that's what, especially the direction that I'm going in right now. I would say within 5 years is, I think 5 years is my kind of timeline that I want to be moving out of this position that I'm in. And I would say in 5 years, I should work at every state facility that I'm at. And that's why I say network, because networking becomes
your path. I mean, that,
well, no, not that, it becomes experience.
Okay, fair enough.
Because I urge people, you know, if your facility is saying, hey, you know, we need people to go to this facility and help, do it.
Oh, yeah, and that's something that was one of my regrets. I never did, I always found an excuse not to do it, and looking back, I should have done it.
Yeah, I mean, that was the difference in me deciding to go in the route that I went.
Now, Robbie, I will say this. If you become a teacher, I'm not calling you Mr. Robbie. You're just like, I don't call you Sergeant Robbie now. You can go fuck yourself. I'll call you teacher before I call you anything like that.
Yeah. But, I mean, there's just – and then I just kind of touched on a bunch of different stuff that you can – you know, routes you can go on. And, like, to go into teaching, like, you don't even have to be a supervisor for that.
No, so, in fact, I was actually on the path to become a trainer with the department, but then I got this once in a million lifetime job offer that I never thought I would get, and I was like, "Dang, I can't turn this down," and so I had to leave, unfortunately. But I was tapped. I actually had my date scheduled to go and get the teaching education, like to become a department certified and like trainer. Or whatever, instructor, whatever you want to call it. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, I wish I could, you know. Well, so the jail that you were at, you were in a supervisor position, right?
Yes. I was informal. They asked me to step up to it formally, but I turned them down because I wanted day shift. And then the local politics bit me.
Okay, whenever they did that, I mean, did a part of you want to move? Oh, because I'll give you an example. You told me, I'm still trying to recruit you to my team.
Yeah.
You said the only way that you would take it, you know, is going into, you know, a corporal slot. What makes you, like, at what point in your career did you decide that, you know, you want to be a supervisor? I guess that's because I've talked about it.
I think what ultimately made me decide that I feel like I'm not somebody, like, I feel like I had to be working towards something at any given point. And the next level as an officer is in my viewpoint, this is not universal, but my viewpoint, it was, okay, the next level is to step up and be a supervisor. I had a great time when I was a sergeant, in more ways than one, but I was also fortunate. I had a great group of guys that worked for me. I had a couple, they weren't all great days, but overall they were overwhelmingly great. You know, we had each other's back. They knew that I had their back. I went to administration for them. They did a lot for me. I did a lot for them. But I had a great time overall. And that's kind of what made, once I got exposed to that, I was like, okay, you know what? I can do this. This is not as bad as I, big, bad, and scary as I thought it would be. And I actually found out that I was good at it and I enjoyed it. And like Robbie's saying, you know, I did learn from supervisors, the kind of supervisor I wanted to be from prior supervisors. And also at the same time, I learned what kind of supervisor I didn't want to be based off prior supervisors as well. So I kind of made my own path, you know, like we've talked about before, when you're a CEO, you kind of become your own, you get your own style. And I've developed my own style as a supervisor as well. And I still talk to a lot of my guys that worked for me to this day, and I think the world of them.
Yeah, I mean, so guys, you know, I highly recommend everybody, you know, at least trying, because just because you think you may not be good at it or you may not like it, you could end up liking it. And worst case scenario, you don't like it, you know, you can always step down back to an officer.
Oh yeah, there's nothing wrong with, there's no shame in that game, homie. Trust me, yeah, there is not.
The same exact, you know, thing we say, that you may get into this profession and you may not like it. Mm-hmm. And there's no shame in making it a few months and saying, you know what, this just isn't for me. Yeah. Same way as a supervisor role. And corrections is just fortunately a field that you can do that in.
Not like
if you take a supervisor position at like a healthcare company or something that you can't step down from.
Right.
So, you know, get your feet wet with as much as you can, you know, get experience in as many different departments as you can, you know, try to go into grievance, try to go into D board, try to go into, you know,
intake.
Get your portfolio, you know, or get your resume looking good.
Get that resume on freaking steroids. Make it look good. And yeah, if you're ever offered a training opportunity, for the love of God, don't say no. Say yes. With worst come to worst, you're going to get it, and you're not going to use it. But it still helps as far as building that resume goes, in my opinion, if it is a department-sanctioned training at the very least.
Oh, okay. All right. I thought you were talking about something else, but I thought you were talking about the training. I was like, don't tell people that.
No, I'm talking like, for example, our department, you can become an FTO.
Yeah.
Field training officer. Take it. If you're offered it, take it. We have a thing called, what's that? It's a national course, Robbie. I can't remember the dang name of it.
I don't know.
I remember it was they always used to make fun of
class. There's so many of them.
Yeah, but there was one class that was recognized, and it was national certification. And you were tapped for it.
I mean, like, you can do the hostage negotiation. There's a bunch of stuff.
Oh yeah, there's all kinds of stuff. There's special operations stuff based on your department. If you're offered it, if that's something you want to do, go after that.
But you know, your first year, and just try to enjoy it, try to absorb as much as you can, especially, you know, because after your first year, that's whenever the work starts.
Yeah, like,
to really now start,
you use that new guy card, you're done.
Not only that, you know, you get out of your probationary period. You know, you should be a little more confident in yourself, a little more comfortable, you know, in your pod with the inmates that you work with.
You should definitely be comfortable with the inmate.
Yeah, I mean, that should be your favorite word.
Yeah. Or you could always do what I did. I got tired of saying the word no, so I went with other variations. Like, nah. Get fucked.
Or just ignore them and walk away. That's what I do a lot.
Good luck with that. They're like toddlers that have violent tendencies.
Yeah. But, you know, you're going to run into your hard situations, but, you know, your hard situations are what's going to make you a good officer.
Yes.
You know, whenever you run into those issues, you know, don't let it, you know, weigh you down. You know, even if you end up getting verbal warnings, even a written warning, mm-hmm. you know, I challenge you to, you know, take that as a learning lesson and
be better.
You know, right before I made sergeant, I got a verbal warning.
You got a pee-pee smack.
Yeah, pretty much.
You got smacked in your little pee-pee. They don't do that anymore.
Yeah, so, I mean, that would be my, I guess, 2 cents about, you know, deciding what you want to do.
Well, we are getting close on time, so my knowledge. So, Robbie, I think, are we good to wrap up? Because at least this particular episode, and we want to maybe touch on it some more in the next episode a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I think, yeah, definitely. I think networking and all that stuff's going to come up quite a bit, especially if you want to move up.
Yeah.
But, you know, to all of our listeners, you know, do your best to turn every bad situation into a good situation because, mm-hmm. you know, and it's something that I tell inmates, you know, it's never too late to turn a bad day into a good day.
Never too late.
Yeah. So, you know, as long as you have that positive outlook and try to keep everything into a learning experience, you're going to go far. You're going to go far.
The day you think you know everything is the day you need to turn and quit, turn your badge in, because you don't.
I mean, you'll spend 30 years in this profession and not know everything. So,
yep.
But and if any supervisors tell you they do know everything, turn around and go find another mentor.
Just know that supervisor is full of shit.
But you have anything else, Caleb?
Nope. Just like I always just want to say that I'm praying for all of our brothers and sisters that are out there in the field. And guys, any new listeners that's thinking about getting into corrections, don't be afraid to reach out to us, correctionalcommentary@gmail.com. Leave us a comment. If you want to do a private message, we'll do that too. And if you want to be a guest on the show, just reach out to us and we'll get you set up with our producer and we'll do another episode. But stay safe out there, most definitely. And watch your six and be your brother's keeper.
All right, guys. Till next time.
Next time, guys.